Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good morning. My name is Laura, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lala's first quarter 2021 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. I'll now turn the call over to Mr. David Gonzalez, Grupo Lala's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and thank you for joining us to review Lala's first quarter 2021 financial and operating results. The related press release was issued after yesterday's market close and has been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website, lala.com.mx. As always, today's discussion will follow presentation slides, which also can be found on our website, along with an updated fundamentals spreadsheet. Please move to slide 2. As a reminder, today's presentation contains projections and other forward-looking statements. Actual results could differ materially from those projected. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise publicly any forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or other factors. It is important to note these statements include expectations and assumptions, which will be shared related to the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. As seen on slide 2, our forward-looking statement also provides information and risk factors, including the impacts of COVID-19 that could affect our financial results. Please move to slide 3. On slide 3, you will see our agenda. With us on our call today are Arquímedes Celis, Grupo Lala's Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Celis will provide an overview of the operating environment in the year ahead. He will then outline Lala's strategic priorities within this context, followed by a review of Lala's in-market performance for the first quarter 2021 and relevant strategic initiatives. Mr. Arellano will then discuss the quarter's financial results in more detail on a consolidated and regional basis. Finally, we will close today's call with your questions. With that, it is now my pleasure to hand the call over to Mr. Celis.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to our first quarter earnings call. Please move to slide 4. Taking a glance at the start of 2021, many of last year's pandemic-driven trends have continued. In particular, consumers are focusing on self-care through healthy, affordable, and nutritious foods. We are also seeing the sustained shift towards cooking and eating more at home. We consider these to be enduring changes in behavior from which we will continue benefiting. Moreover, we have started the year with a continued trend on non-discernible downtrading nor negative impact from the new food labeling implemented in Mexico in 2020. In 2021, we expect that dairy demand will remain resilient in the current environment as it is an affordable nutrition source. Also, despite the considerable economic uncertainty and barring success of vaccine rollout in the countries where Lala operates, e-commerce will also continue increasing its relevance, requiring companies to adapt their communication strategy for brand development and new product launches. Therefore, I would like to touch upon this aspect of our strategy, on how we have addressed this trend, which we believe will continue gaining further traction post-pandemic. In line with the rapid growth of online grocery shopping, we have increased our investments in digital marketing to better position our brands and products within the e-commerce platforms of both retailers and aggregators. This resulted in a 246% increase in sales within this channel in 2020, and we have begun seeing solid traction in the first months of 2021. As anticipated, in Brazil, we expect a year of demand volatility from food service customers, given the pressure on away-from-home consumption with COVID-19-imposed restrictions. Finally, a return to mobility will have a favorable impact on product mix from the eventual return to in-person school and office. Please turn to slide six. We ended 2020 having successfully achieved critical milestones for our company. Notably, we right-sized our Mexico operations, effectively eliminating what had been substantial drags on the profitability of this business. Last quarter, we shared our strategic priorities for 2021. These are focused on building upon our considerable 2020 progress as we strive to realize Lala's full potential. Operational excellence in Mexico is key to sustainably driving near-term profitable growth. Further, having accomplished our objectives, which we will continue delivering, we now add to our focus other markets, reassessing our strategy for Lala's Brazil and U.S. operations in light of the considerable headwinds we are facing. We expect additional margin expansion in Central America, with solid performance in Nicaragua and Guatemala. Financial discipline remains a priority. Through prudent capital allocation, we expect annual CapEx to sales to remain around 3% in 2021. In addition, we intend to further consolidate improvements in working capital, keeping it at a negative to neutral level. And we remain committed to further reducing Lala's debt leverage. Finally, we are ensuring that our ESG practices, which have been in effect throughout our organization for many years, are being fully aligned with global best practices. Please turn to slide seven, where I would like to provide more details on how we are evolving this important area of focus for our company in Mexico. ESG has been an integral part of our business since our company's inception. Today, we have sustainability specialists embedded within Mexico's production facilities. To cite some aspects of note related to E or environment, around 48% of our electricity in Mexico today comes from cleaner energy sources, including a cogeneration plant in Torreón. Further, we have made a multi-year investment to install 8 wastewater treatment plants, reducing effluent discharge and increase water reuse at our Mexico facilities. As you know, Lala's refrigerated distribution vehicle fleet is the largest in Mexico and a significant competitive advantage for our business. We are successfully making these more efficient and cleaner through improved fuel economy, as well as by introducing our first refrigerated hybrid vehicles in Mexico. Additionally, over the past decades, we have benefited from the fact that prudent animal farming results in more and better milk. Throughout the decades, we have promoted animal welfare by working closely with our dairy suppliers. Those who have visited the farms have seen the considerable steps taken to ensure cows are healthy, comfortable, and free of disease. Our commitment to society extends to various fronts, from ensuring our consumers benefit from products based on the highest global food safety production standards, establishing our culture and values within Lala's code of conduct, to providing considerable support to the communities where we operate. Fundación Lala was established in 1985 and has consistently worked in line with the United Nations Zero Hunger Sustainable Development Goal. In 2020 alone, Fundación Lala donated food to more than 1 million individuals, provided health support to more than 60,000 Mexicans, and educational support to more than 33,000 children. We are proud of the important work we have achieved on the ESG front as part of our corporate mission and philosophy, more details of which are available within Lala's sustainability reports on our website. We also see exciting opportunities to continue building on this success, specifically related to monitoring and standardizing practices throughout our organization with improved reporting metrics. Please move to slide 8. This slide provides more color on the steps we have taken to reinforce our governance and framework to drive sustainability. We have established an ESG operating committee, which is comprised of business heads from key functions, including manufacturing, distribution, marketing, HR, R&D, procurement, and finance, and is led by our CFO. Lala, therefore, does not have a separate ESG division or function. This ensures centralized accountability and that Lala's sustainability model is deeply ingrained within all businesses and operations with board and executive management oversight. Our goal in this regard is to deepen our current ESG practices and initiatives, to define our baseline measurement, and to establish Lala's core ESG objectives and reporting practices in line with global standards such as GRI, TCFD, and SASB. Please move to slide 9 to begin our review of Lala's first quarter performance. Constant currency sales rose 5.7% year-on-year, driven by performance in Mexico and Brazil. Lala's consolidated EBITDA margin expanded by 110 basis points to 10.5% due to a 180 basis points year-over-year margin increase in Mexico to reach a reported EBITDA margin of 12.8% for Mexico, our largest operation. In turn, this margin increase led to a 130 year-over-year increase in net income to 519 million pesos for the first quarter 2021. Working capital as a percentage of sales improved 110 basis points year-over-year, and our leverage ratio sequentially decreased another notch to 3 times net debt to EBITDA. Please move to slide 11 for a review of first quarter performance by region. In Mexico, defensive consumer categories, brand loyalty, and a strong preference for Lala products drove a 6.3% increase in sales. It is important to note this increase is despite a comparison to last year's elevated pandemic pantry filling levels. Sales through the traditional channel and via big box retailers remain solid. Importantly, value, mainstream, and premium Lala products are all growing at a similar rate with no discernible downtrading. Demand for UHT milk, cream cheese, cold cuts, and butter also remains robust, consistent with increased at-home cooking. On the profitability side, Lala's operational performance continued to deliver year-on-year margin expansion. During the first quarter, we made selective price increases to offset cost inflation due to initial raw material cost pressures. Please move to slide 12 to review performance at our Brazil business. We continue to face a challenging demand environment in Brazil, which worsened this quarter as lockdowns, inflation, and the removal of the government consumer aid program hit consumption at the food service channel. As we can see on the graph, where the orange line reflects the performance of the food service channel in Brazil, restaurant and bars sales were gradually recovering in 2020, but in 2021, they have rapidly plummeted down. As in Mexico, home cooking and snacking remains robust, reflected in strong fine cheeses, requeixão, and cream cheese performance during the first quarter. Brazil margin was again pressured by rising raw material costs during the quarter, as resins and palm oil joined the already high raw milk and soybean oil prices. Recently implemented price increases have not completely offset these costs, nor the loss of operational leverage from decreased volumes. Please turn to slide 13. On April 6, 2021, Lala made the strategic decision to close its production plant in Anápolis, Brazil, realigning manufacturing capacity in light of reduced production demand for this facility due to the termination of a prior co-packing agreement, which represents 14% of sales in this region. The remaining production has been successfully reallocated to the company's São Caetano do Sul facility. Further, Grupo Lala's 8 production plants in Brazil remain in operation. This decision, as well as other important measures taken by Lala to restructure and streamline its Brazil operations, is also in response to market-related volume declines in the challenging operating environment. In April, we restructured our corporate team in Brazil by eliminating the business units and implementing a functional corporate structure, resulting in a leaner organization. Further, we continue to optimize Brazil's product portfolio, removing low profitability products. Related write-offs of around 35 to 40 million reais will be reflected in the company's second quarter 2021 results. Please move to slide 14 to review our U.S. results. In the U.S. market, While we are seeing encouraging initial signs of recovery, driven by an aggressive vaccine rollout schedule, first quarter 2021 year-on-year U.S. sales declined by 9%, mainly due to co-packing sales contraction, as well as in light of last year's pantry loading during the first quarter months. We executed an in-depth analysis of demand elasticity within this market, and in March, executed price adjustments to better calibrate Lala drinkable yogurt's value proposition and boost demand. At-home consumption levels also remain strong in this market and supported last year's trends of sustained growth of Promised Land and UHT milk during the quarter. Further, we increased distribution of Promised Land and Lala Crema. EBITDA recovered sequentially to achieve a margin of 1.4% for the first quarter 2021. Moreover, we had improvements in working capital. Please turn to slide 15 to review Central America. We started the year in Central America with encouraging continued progress towards profitability. Steady volume growth increased sales by 4.2% year-on-year in Nicaragua and Guatemala in dollar terms, with gradual ice cream recovery and consistent milk and yogurt performance during the quarter. We successfully passed through cost inflation in this market as well. We continue broadening our portfolio offering by introducing Lala Kids yogurt and cost-effective Nutrileti milk powder. Importantly, key initiatives supported our profitability, reflected in a 410 basis point year-on-year expansion. Finally, we further streamlined operations in this market by successfully migrating imports from Mexico to local production, while also improving our route to market by leveraging best practices derived from our Mexico operations. With that, let me now turn the call over to Alberto for a review of our financial results in more detail, and I will return later on with some final remarks.
Thank you, Archimedes. Good day, everyone. Please move to slide 17. Total net sales increased 3.3%, mainly driven by price adjustments, notably in Brazil and Mexico, despite tough comparisons in all regions against a strong first quarter in 2020, which benefited from increased panic sales in March. Consolidated sales were partially impacted by the depreciation of the Brazilian real and the closure of the Costa Rica operation in Central America. Please move to slide 18, where we will break down EBITDA by region. In consolidated figures, we had a good start to the year, executing against our strategic priorities of sustaining profitable growth. We delivered a strong consolidated EBITDA margin of 10.5%, which represented an expansion of 110 basis points year-on-year, primarily generated by successful SG&A expense controls coupled with improved product management and solid top-line growth in Mexico and improvements in Central America due to the contribution of sound operational performance in Nicaragua and Guatemala, which became evident following the closure of the operation in Costa Rica. Moving to our bottom line on slide 19, first quarter net income doubled versus last year to 519 million pesos, supported by strong operational results as well as a lower financial expenses resulting from decreased interest rate and adequate liability management, and a year-on-year stable effective tax rate. Please move to slide 20 for a look at the composition of Lala's debt. Given the above-mentioned liability management, our debt profile has remained solid. We maintain a debt mix aligned with our currency exposure. A fixed rate for almost three-fourths of our debt, and a weighted average maturity of 4 years. Our weighted cost of debt stands at 7.4, including the effect of our hedging derivatives. Moving to slide 21, we continue to make progress towards achieving our target leverage ratio of 2.5 times net debt on EBITDA. We ended this quarter at 3 times, declining from 3.1 in December 2020 as we continue to deliver improved cash flow generation supported by strong results in our Mexican operation and an optimized capital allocation. Please move to slide 22. As we have been sharing with you in the past, capital efficiency is a top priority for us. Along these lines, we have consistently improved our working capital metrics over the last 2 years, posting 3 consecutive quarters of negative consolidated working capital to sales ratio. These improvements come on the back of substantial gains in the cash conversion cycle in the regions outside Mexico. As these improvements are structural, we believe we can sustain these working capital levels going forward. Please move to slide 23. As Archimedes mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, we followed a very prudent and rational capital allocation strategy. All capital expenditures are subject to a rigorous return on invested capital analysis across our businesses. In the last 3 years, we managed to keep our CapEx to sales ratio below 3%, including leasing agreements. And the first quarter of 2021 has been a continuation of this trend. We aim to maintain this ratio as we can deliver innovation and growth with existing capability. On a final note, I would like to announce that this quarter, we will implement a market maker aiming at improving our stock liquidity, which will be announced according to regulatory guidances. With that, I turn the microphone back to Archimedes for his final remarks before we move to Q&A session. Archimedes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alberto. In closing, we believe our first quarter results reflect meaningful executional traction supported by the continued demand for our brands and products. Mexico's performance again drove growth and profitability for the quarter, and we have taken further steps to right-size our operations and streamline our product portfolios in the other regions to strengthen our long-term profitability. Further, margin expansion and profitability with noteworthy working capital improvements across all regions during this first quarter of the year resulted in a sequential improvement of our leverage ratio. Finally, we are making important strides as we collate and leverage the ESG practices we have in place throughout our organization to evolve our company's sustainability model. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, please open the call for questions.
At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary for you to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Ben Torrier with Barclays. You may proceed with your question.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Archimedes and Alberto. First of all, congrats on the results. Two questions. First, on Mexico. So clearly, you continue to deliver on what you've promised a few quarters back on the operational efficiencies, and we saw, obviously, a very healthy margin expansion despite some raw material inflation. So just wanted to understand, where do you think this operation is heading to towards the back end of the year as mobility comes back in and you leverage better the operations? Where do you think margins can actually go despite some of those cost headwinds? Is it fair to assume there's still some room on the upside in Mexico in particular? And then I have a second question. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Ben. Good morning. Thanks for your question. Listen, the reality is that we have been sharing that our aim is to maintain the 13% margin on EBITDA as something sustainable in Mexico. What we have seen, and probably very likely what you have heard from other companies, is that commodity prices are really putting some pressure on our margins. We have been very diligent on what we have taken in terms of price increase, both in the mom and pop stores and the modern trade channel, and we plan to continue to do whatever is needed to maintain our contribution margin. At this point in time, given that context, I wouldn't be expecting much more than what we have been sharing with you. It's on one hand, it's a commodity pressure on our input costs. On the second hand, you know, the pandemic has not finished yet, so we need to be careful on what we can accomplish as well and make sure that our offering would not tamper also a deceleration in consumption. So in a nutshell, I would still assume what we have been sharing over the last couple of quarters then.
Okay, perfect. And then my second question is actually covering all three regions within one like broader topic. So you've been very aggressive and very focused on portfolio optimization, asset-based optimization. We've seen the write-downs you took and the adjustments in Central America. In the fourth quarter, you made the announcement. You did things in the U.S. in the past. You made the announcement today on Brazil and what the cost is associated. So just thinking about how you're on those three regions, where do you think profitability can go here? I mean, we've seen in Central America an immediate impact. Where do you think some of the decisions you've taken to execute within the second quarter is going to result in a medium to long-term profitability for Brazil? And what should we expect in the U.S., considering that we're just hovering around the break-even level? Thank you.
Yes, Ben. So I would, what I would say is the following. It's, we will continue to make the right choices for the company to improve its return on invested capital. These sometimes are choices which are difficult to make, and yeah, there are certainly choices that have to do with a certain context on each region. You were asking about our outlook and perspective for these three key regions, no? And I'll briefly say what you know we see. Brazil is going through a very difficult situation from a country standpoint and from a business standpoint in particular. We have the challenge of the pandemic who has hit Brazil in a strong way and therefore consumption. We have the food service which is very affected, given the, you know, the long lockdowns and so on. And then we have a third point in our business in Brazil, which is the termination of the contract of Seara, which represents around about 14% of our sales. So the situation in Brazil is very challenging, Ben. The outlook for the year is going to be a tough one. And again, we will continue doing whatever we need to make sure that that business can potentially eventually deliver a better margin. From Central America, we have taken very profound, I would say, structural choices in the past that
put us in a situation where we believe margins are there to be sustained and with some backwinds can, you know, expand further. We took the, you know, the hit of the closure of the plants and the business in Costa Rica. We have decided to locally and localize production to Guatemala and Nicaragua, stopping imports from Mexico. And also we have managed, I would say, pricing and productivity in a way where we can believe this is more sustainable than where we were before. And then the U.S., you know, we start to see some backwinds from the opening of the economy. We believe this will help us on our business, which relies importantly on the on-the-go drinkable yogurt market. But it's also important to keep in mind that we have been working in the U.S. also on driving productivity, on optimizing SG&A, and also on managing on managing portfolio. So that's a little bit of how we see the three regions you were mentioning.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Congrats again.
Our next question comes from the line of Fernando Olvera with Bank of America. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. I have two, if I may. My first question is related, well, in fact, both of them are related to Mexico. The first one is, how do you expect consumption at home to behave in coming quarters now that the vaccine is being rolled out? And second one is, what is your outlook on pricing, given that the green prices could indirectly have pressure on costs and that most consumer staples will have to increase prices in the following quarters? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. Let me tell you that we expect, as the vaccine rollout continues here in Mexico, which is being executed a bit slowly, I would say, but anyway, we are expecting that gradually we will come back to the to a normal situation. And as a result of that, of course, consumption out of home will come back, maybe not to the same levels that we had previously, pre-pandemic, but for sure they will grow. And fortunately for us, we have a good presence in channels where this mobility of the consumer will demand again our products. So convenience stores, for example, and of course mom and pop stores will take advantage of that trend by having more people moving under normal circumstances and activities. So I don't see a negative effect in our sales due to the rollout of the vaccines and the society coming back to normal activities. So that's on one hand, and on the other hand, we are always adapting our portfolio according to the trends, the consumer trends in terms of course of nutritious foods. And this year, and of course next one, we will continue with that strategy of updating our value propositions in order to maintain our attractiveness from the consumer point of view. Now, in terms of pricings, I would say that we have we normally not only this year, but this has been our strategy for many years at Lala, is that on one hand we compensate or try to compensate the cost inflation that we have by doing of course price increases, but on the other hand we are always looking to find productivities and improve our efficiencies inside our supply chain. So yes, there are pressure now from some of the commodities that we utilize in the manufacturing of our goods, but we think that our Mexico operation is very well prepared to improve the efficiency and also to pass through those increases to the final price to the consumer.
Great. Thank you, Kenneth.
Our You're next welcome. Question comes from the line of Alvaro Garcia with BTG. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you for the space for questions. I have mainly I want to focus on the plant in Brazil. You mentioned you're going to relocate production. You also mentioned it's 14% of revenues. I was wondering if you could help quantify what you expect in terms of any lost sales, like on a net basis. That's one question. My second question is whether the margin this quarter was impacted by any extraordinary items relating to that. And third, whether or not it was expected or not. Maybe you can tell us a story maybe of what happened exactly, but whether or not this was expected on your end and whether this was driven by you or by the co-packer. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Alvaro. A couple of thoughts here. The first one is, just to clarify, yes, in Q1, we did not have any impact whatsoever on the condition of the plant in Brazil. So everything is going to be, let's say, registered in Q2. And as Archimedes mentioned briefly, you know, the order of magnitude is round about 35 to 40 million reais. 80% of that, it's really asset write-off. And around about 20% of that is the cost of liquidating really the restructuring and some of the choices that we made to, let's say, be a little bit more leaner in terms of organization. So the elimination of the business units and the transition to a more functional, let's say, leaner organization. So that's for your question on the impacts. In terms of the story of the Seara, yes, this is something that it was feared for us. It's a contract that had a final date, and that date was at the end of March. We have been working proactively on planning for the decommission of that plan and also for the translation of those assets and especially some of the production to a different plant, which is a margarine plant that produces the brands for Bigor. So that was planned. It was very clear, and this is why we were able to, let's say, mitigate some of that impact from a long known story. Now, in terms of margins, you know, there are some things that we have implemented that are going to mitigate part of the impact. What I can tell you is that the impact on margin is going to be higher than the 14% lost on sale. And basically, the reason is that this was a business that had a very good contribution margin, and it helped us to absorb part of the fixed costs around the country. We will be providing more color on that on Q2, but I think it's important to advance that was a very profitable business, and that some of the choices and decisions are going to mitigate that factor, but we will have an impact, which is going to be a profound one in our profitability.
Let me just add one thing that was not expected was the such a high price of raw milk. Our initial thinking about it was that the price will come down a little bit during the first quarter of this year, and that didn't happen.
Yes, agreed. And then if I could just have one last one. And that's very helpful color, and I appreciate that explanation. Just one last one on April volume, sort of what you've seen month to date on maybe on-the-go categories in Mexico, if you're seeing maybe somewhat of a recovery given the increased mobility we've seen, or are we not out of the woods yet in Mexico specifically? Thank you.
We haven't reached the previous levels at that channel, but yes, due to the increase in mobility, we are seeing a gradual improvement, but it's still lower than the normal levels we had pre-pandemic.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Arquímedes and Beto. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Marcela Recchia with Credit Suisse. You may proceed with your question. Marcela, you may proceed with your question.
Hi, Arquímedes, Alberto. Hope you are well. Thank you for taking my question. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry, I thought you were not hearing. Two quick questions on my side. First, I'm just interested to understand what were the main drivers to offset the lower operating leverage in U.S. and drive a positive EBITDA this quarter. And secondly, in Mexico, you have done a successful job there since the beginning of last year. And I just wondering, with operations back on track, what can we expect in terms of growth avenues for the region going forward? And how can we think about product innovation? Thank you.
Thank you, Marcela. If I may, let me answer the first question, and then I will let Arquímedes I'll answer the second one. In terms of the actions that we've taken in the U.S., this is something that we've worked, let's say, throughout 2020 to also try to mitigate the pressure on lower volumes following the low on-the-go consumption. But basically, I would summarize them in three. One is a very aggressive productivity program that has been implemented throughout the different operations in the U.S. The second one was an SGA optimization. We have not, let's say, shared about that, but we also did some management restructuring and also in the aiming of having a leaner, faster organization, there were some opportunities which created some margin expansion. And third, we have been also working very diligently on the portfolio management, especially when you think about price points and opportunities we have in our revenue management. Arquímedes shared that we did a very thorough analysis on elasticity price points on the different counts, and this is something that we implemented since Q4, late Q4. And you know, it's still, we need to be modest about it, but we believe there are some positive signs on that particular trend. So those three, I would say, are the things that we did structurally to make sure that the U.S., you know, it's in a good start whenever the economy helps us a little bit.
Yes, thank you, Alberto. Let me try to answer the second part of the second question. In terms of what happened in Mexico after we have been able to align the operation with good performance and opportunity for growth, I would say that in addition of the opportunities that we see in the dairy sector, like in products like cheese, premium milks, I also see important opportunities for growth in cold cuts, and as you know, this month we relaunch our Plenia, Lala Plenia cold cuts with an improved value proposition, as well as a larger number of SKUs and of course supported with our distribution capabilities and a good marketing campaign. So we are expecting in that area an important growth for the company. And finally, another area which is still, I would say, small right now, but everything indicates that this kind of food will continue growing is the plant-based food products. We have seen Lala as a food company. Of course, we all know that dairy is our core business, but we are very well prepared to take advantage of our competitive capabilities and take advantage of that by participating in other food sectors. Because with that distribution capability, as well as the R&D innovation capabilities that we have and marketing capabilities to understand consumer needs and trends, I think the company is prepared to be successful in not only in dairy, but in other, let's say, related type food items.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Ulises Argote with JP Morgan. You may proceed with your question.
Hola, Arquimedes, Beto, David. Congrats again on the results. Clearly, the hard work on Mexico is paying off here. I had a couple of questions. The first one, I was wondering maybe if you can expand on the digital initiatives you were commenting there. Obviously, some very impressive growth last year on this channel. But can you give us some sense of how relevant are sales from aggregators and from the supermarkets via the digital channels for your overall sales? And where do you see this kind of going in terms of relevance across the channel mix, kind of short, midterm? And then the second question that I had was, besides the market maker agreement, which I think is great news, and thanks for sharing that, guys, would you be looking to reactivate the buybacks, or how does the strategy look like here kind of in the short term as well? Thank you very much.
As we mentioned, I will try to answer your first question, our digital initiatives. As we have been looking at this way of selling, growing in the past, but of course with the pandemic, this way of selling importantly, and of course we decided to take advantage as much as possible of this new channel to get to the consumer, to get our products to the consumers. So we invest in that channel, particularly more, let's say, with supermarkets, and up to now it's not, let's say, a significant portion of our sales, but we are seeing this trend, that this trend will continue, and of course we will promote selling our products through this channel. Beto, can you answer the other question, please?
Sure. As for your second question, Ulises, hola. And in reality, we are solely committed currently to lowering our debt. We believe it's important that we get closer and closer to the 2.5x debt net on EBITDA. And what we decided to do over the last couple of quarters is to put pause on the buyback program. We still believe this is the approach we should be following over the next couple of months. You know, if the situation improves, then you know we might reactivate that eventually. But we are As we have said, obsessed about that lowering of the leverage, and this is what we would like to do with any excess cash, Ulises.
Perfect. That is great, guys. And a follow up, if I may, to kind of Ben's earlier question there on the sustainability of margins in Mexico, and maybe here looking beyond just that raw material cost side of the equation, but can you share maybe what the FX hedges look like a little bit there? I mean, if trends remain at current levels, obviously below the 20 peso per dollar mark we have been seeing over the last couple of weeks, do you think at some point we start seeing some tailwinds from FX, or is this a bit of a stretch, you would say?
No, I believe it's more the latter. I believe it's more a stretch. As you know, we have a very, I would say, clear policy on hedging. We are very proactive on what we can cover. We used to have a policy where we were only covering 6 months ahead. And late last year, we decided to get a little bit further and be able to cover up to 9 months of our dollarized necessities. And this is what we have been doing over the last couple of months. We were, I would say, a little bit more aggressive during the last couple of weeks / months when the peso started to get more closer to a 20 peso per dollar. Today, we have 80% of our needs covered for Q2 and Q3, and we have actually a part already, a foot there on the door for Q4. I would not expect a benefit from that vis-a-vis the market, but it's a reality that we are very well hedged in a year where, you know, things can get a little bit bumpy over the summer. And that, in any case, that would not be a problem for us in case the dollar, you know, goes a little bit pressured. So that's a couple of words on our FX hedges policy, Ulises.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of today's question and answer session. I would like to turn this call back over to Mr. David Gonzalez for closing remarks.
Thank you, Laura, and thank everyone for joining us on our results call today. We look forward to talking to you on our next quarterly call, and of course, please, everyone, stay safe. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time.